It's a big event in the skies over Wisconsin this week. The Experimental Aircraft Association holds its annual Air Venture in Oshkosh with lots of planes and even more people. One focus this year, women in aviation. Our next two guests are speaking at the event today. First, Michelle Curran, call sign Mace, was a fighter pilot in the U.S. Air Force for 13 years, completing missions across Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. From 2019 to 21, she was the only female pilot of the Air Force's Thunderbirds Elite Demonstration Squadron. After leaving the military, she founded the company Upside Down Dreams and wrote a children's book with the same name. She gave a keynote speech earlier today at the EAA event and appears this evening on the Women Venture panel. And she was born in Medford, Wisconsin. I talked to her yesterday after she'd arrived at Oshkosh. When did you first get the notion that, hey, I want to fly a plane?
A lot later than I think a lot of people expected. While I was flying for the Thunderbirds, I had a lot of interactions with kids. And so a lot of people would ask me if I was, you know, 20 years ago, if I was one of those kids. And actually, I grew up in northern Wisconsin. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I'm a Wisconsin native. And I just did not have exposure to really aviation or the military. I was only a couple hours from EAA Air Venture, and I didn't even know what was going on. But it was about halfway through college that I went and visited a military base, and I got to see a couple of fighter aircraft taking off in full afterburner, and that was kind of the first time I had had exposure to that, and it was just a pivotal moment for me. I got goosebumps. It was kind of one of those jaw-dropping experiences, and from that day, I was like, okay, how do I figure out how to go do that?
Now, fast forward, you were the second ever female lead solo pilot of the Thunderbirds. Can you, first of all, tell us what that means and what it meant to you to take that place in the group's history?
Yeah, so I flew for the Thunderbirds from 2019 through the 2021 season, so 3 years. And the team has been around since 1953, so this year is the big anniversary for them. And it was really an honor to be part of that legacy. And you know, it was a lot of responsibility, I think, to be in such a public-facing position as one of only a few women, because the Thunderbirds' mission is really to inspire the American public and to, you know, recruit the next generation of military aviators. But for the little girls that were watching the air shows, for them to see someone that they could relate to and someone that looked like them was pretty powerful. And so it was really an honor to be able to fulfill that role. And as the lead solo, there's six jets that you'd see in the air show if you've ever seen the Thunderbirds fly. Mm-hmm. The one out front is Thunderbird 1. He leads the entire demonstration as well as the whole squadron of 130 people. But there's the two solo pilots that do kind of the maneuvers that make a lot of people gasp, like the head-on passes where it almost looks like a high-speed game of chicken, all the flying upside down, the high-G maneuvers, the really fast climb rates. That's all the solo pilots. And so the lead solo is the more experienced of the two, and I was responsible for kind of all of the timing and communication and just coordination for our element of two aircraft.
Now, at any point in that stretch, from your first idea that, yeah, you wanted to fly a plane to hitting this pinnacle for pilots, for fighter pilots here, were there obstacles based on being a woman where people thought, what's she doing here?
Definitely at different points throughout my career. When I first decided I wanted to do that, you know, gender didn't really come into the equation of, you know, me making that decision. It was just something I wanted to do. I didn't really think that much about it. As I got into more of the competitive kind of training pipelines for the Air Force, it started to get highlighted to me quite a bit. And then as we got into these, you know, very competitive spots where we have a class of 25 people and only one or two fighter aircraft are going to be available for that entire class, it can get, these people are your friends, but it can also get kind of cutthroat. And that's when it really started to get highlighted to me by a few people in the class that there was some notion that I was going to get that spot because the Air Force was checking a diversity box, which is not something that they do. Like, the standards are pretty dang high and you have to meet them. And so I ended up doing well enough to get, you know, one of those two fighter aircraft. And then there was just kind of this feeling of responsibility where I had to set the reputation for any women that would follow in my footsteps once I was actually in the, you know, a fighter cockpit and I was in one of the squadrons. And I also felt like I was under a microscope, right? Like, I wouldn't say people are waiting for you to fail, but people definitely are paying attention to what you're doing. And so that can be a little bit, you know, extra stress on top of the already stressful career. But by the time I got to the Thunderbirds, I definitely saw it as an asset because of what I mentioned. I could relate to, you know, all the women and girls in the audience in a different way than my male peers could.
Talking to Michelle Curran, call sign Mace, longtime fighter pilot in the U.S. Air Force. Female pilot, solo pilot with the Air Force Thunderbirds Elite Demonstration Squadron in Wisconsin for the EAA Air Show. Now, Mace, you've taken up another step in your career now, children's book author. Can you tell us about Upside Down Dreams?
Yeah, so my first kids' book, Upside Down Dreams, just came out in July, so very recently, and it really has great reception. It's been a bestseller on Amazon, and it's just been really cool to see all the photos and the reviews, you know, roll in of all these kids reading it. And it was a long process. The idea for the book came to me in 2019 when I was visiting the Smithsonian Museum in D.C., and then I didn't have time to actually start working on it until the pandemic when a lot of our air shows were canceled. And then it took me another 2 years to, you know, find a publisher, actually get it out in print. So kind of a four-year journey. It's a passion project because I just got to have so many cool and inspirational connections with kids in person where I could see kind of that light bulb moment happen for them when they saw, you know, a woman doing what I was doing. And so I wanted to be able to continue to reach and inspire kids in that way once I was no longer flying for the Thunderbirds. And that's where the book kind of came into play.
You were able to fly with the Thunderbirds in your home state of Wisconsin. Now you're at EAA in Wisconsin. What does it mean to you to take your career, to take your love of flying, your message for the next generation back to your home state?
It was just really special every time I get to come home. And, you know, I did the Milwaukee show. It was just really cool. I got to have a lot of my friends and family there, which is just such a neat opportunity to be able to show them, you know, what I was doing at that point in my career. And then to come back to Oshkosh, I was here last year for the first time ever, which was surprising to a lot of people because, you know, I grew up just a couple hours from here. So having never been to Oshkosh until after leaving the Thunderbirds was a little bit of a shocker to the aviation community here. But once I came here, I was like, I have been missing out and I need to come back. And so I'm keynoting this year, doing book signings, part of a forum, and it's just really cool because I know a lot of people watching are kids from small towns in Wisconsin, and I think they can see themselves in me, and that can be really impactful for them to chase down whatever their own goals are.
Well, Mace, have a great time back in Wisconsin, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Michelle Curran, call sign Mace. I talked to her yesterday from 2019 to 21. She was the only female pilot on the Air Force Thunderbirds Elite Demonstration Squadron. She's speaking today at the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Coming up, we'll hear from another pilot and speaker at that event who wrote a book about the history of women in military aviation. That's up next on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our talk about women in flight as the EAA Air Venture continues in Oshkosh. Now we're taking a look at the history of women in combat flight. Starting 75 years ago with the Women's Armed Services Integration Act, which allowed women to join the military. Other big anniversaries this year, too. 30 years ago, women started to fly combat aircraft. 50 years ago, women started to be trained as military pilots. Eileen Bjorkman is a retired Air Force colonel and author of the new book, Fly Girls Revolt, the story of the women who kicked open the door to fly in combat. Eileen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
You share this big history. You are part of this history. A lot changed from when you first joined the Air Force in 1980. Can you talk about your personal story, first of all?
Yes, so I came in the Air Force in 1980, and women were just starting to come in larger numbers. They'd started training as military pilots in 1973. The Air Force started training women as military pilots in 1976. And so there were still a fairly small number of women that were flying at the time. I couldn't go to pilot training because my eyes weren't good enough, and I actually found a loophole in the combat laws where I could fly as a flight test engineer, and I could fly in the back seat of fighter aircraft because they weren't considered combat planes. They were considered test airplanes in the test business. So I was actually able to fly in some of those aircraft in the mid 80s, and then had a front row seat to watching all of the laws change and the policies change in the 80s and the 90s.
What was at the center of that change? Who took the lead in making the case that women can fly, including flying combat missions?
I think what's really interesting about that is it wasn't a single individual. There were lots of different women who were involved in that fight from starting actually back in the 1960s. There was a woman, Jean Holm, who was very instrumental. She was a two-star general in the Air Force eventually. She was very instrumental in opening additional roles for women. She knew combat was a bridge too far in the 60s and 70s, but she continued to advocate for women even after she retired. There was a group called the Women Military Aviators, that was the small numbers of women military aviators that did exist. They came together, they started writing to their congressmen and their leaders and explaining why the laws really needed to change. And then there were several congresswomen that were very supportive as well. Patricia Schroeder, in particular, comes to mind. So.
Now, you are speaking at Air Venture. You're sharing your book. You're on a panel, I think, later this afternoon with a group of women, including Mace Curran, who we just heard from. What kind of things are you hoping gets out there to this this big audience at Air Venture?
So they're going to hear a little bit about the history, not too much, because the focus is on the women who've actually been able to fly in combat. But yes, we're going to hear from one woman who was in the Air Force in the mid-80s when women were not allowed to fly in combat. She's going to talk a little bit about her experiences, and that's General Jackie Van Ovost. And then we're going to have the first three women fighter pilots in the Air Force are going to come on and talk about their experiences as the first women and what it was like for them. And then a little bit about their first experiences in combat. And then we're gonna bring in the younger women like Michelle Curran, Mace Curran, and they're gonna talk about how things are today and some of their more recent experiences. So it's gonna be a little bit of a history lesson and a little bit of, where are we today? And just emphasizing to everybody that, women can do anything in the military now. There really are no limits.
And Eileen, you're making the case for more women in aviation. And included in that, we think aviation, we think you're flying the plane. Hang on, you wrote a piece that appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about the need for more mechanics in aviation. And one of the things you say is, hey, we've got this untapped potential of women getting into aviation mechanics. Can you talk about that side of the industry, military and civilian?
Yes. So women are very small numbers, even in the civilian side of things. As I mentioned in that article, women are only about 3% of mechanics. And so there's, like I said, there's a huge untapped resource there. And for airline pilots, only about 5% of women are airline pilots. And so, again, there's a huge untapped resource in this country that that we need to use if we're going to have a very strong, be a strong leader in aviation, which we are.
How important is it for you to have role models front and center? I mean, your book traces this chain of, people who inspired the next generation to advance a little further, a little further. How important is just like seeing someone, maybe for that young girl in a small town like Mays was talking about, seeing someone in aviation potentially being that inspiration?
I think it's important. I didn't have a lot of role models when I was in, obviously, but there were women that I knew about, like Jean Holm, that I think, oh, she could do it. I can do it too. And I have heard lots of stories of people telling me about their experience of seeing a woman and then all of a sudden realizing that, oh, I can do that too. I heard one story about a little girl that I think it was here at Oshkosh. She came to Oshkosh with her family, and there was a woman with her T-38, woman pilot with her T-38 here, her training airplane, standing by the airplane, and she saw her and realized that I could be a pilot too. So I think a lot of it is, there's that saying, you can't be what you can't see. And so I think having representation is very important.
Now, you served in the Air Force. I hope you don't mind if I bring up another branch of the service. We have a joint chief's nominee to head the Navy would be the first woman to head one of the branches of the military. How important is it for you to see that glass ceiling get broken?
Well, again, I think it's very important. I think the main consideration is that she was the best person for the job. She obviously has a background that makes her very qualified. But I think being able to, put her up into that position definitely sends the right message to, the American people and to the world, is that, everybody in the United States has opportunities to go as far as they can and as far as they want to.
Now, in Fly Girls Revolt, you tell the story of women being able to take on more and more roles in military aviation. Are we at the point you want to be at right now, or are there still barriers to be broken, or at least numbers to be brought up?
So I would like to see more women in aviation in the military. About 20% of the Air Force is military. About 20% of the Air Force is women. You'd expect that about 20% of our pilots would be women, and we're nowhere near that. We're about like the airlines, we're around 5%, and it's even smaller numbers with fighter pilots. So again, I don't believe in quotas, but there are definitely barriers. There are things that are keeping women from either becoming interested in aviation in the first place, or they're leaving aviation because of family issues and things really that we can help deal with in the Department of Defense.
You're at Air Venture now. Are you seeing a pretty solid gender mix as far as the crowds turning out for the big event?
I am. I'm very thrilled with the number of women that I see here. We just had our picture taken today out on the flight line, and it was a huge crowd. And everybody's wearing their blue t-shirts today, and it's just like a sea of blue here. So I'm very pleased with the crowd.
Eileen, thanks a lot for joining us. Enjoy your time here in Wisconsin.
Thank you. I always do.
That's Eileen Bjorkman, a retired Air Force colonel, author of the new book, Fly Girls Revolt, the story of the women who kicked open the door to fly in combat. She talks about the history of women in the Air Force. She's speaking today at the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Also tomorrow.